Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah share. We are holding Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, and Yirtzeh Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We are continuing to learn Hilchos Shabbos, and yesterday we began Siman Reish Nun Gimel, and we started to discuss some of the complexities of Hilchos Bishul, some of the halachas that govern Bishul, not on Shabbos, but really now we're discussing Bishul that's sort of taking place on Erev Shabbos. Here at the beginning of Chel Gimel, we're slowly marching through Erev Shabbos. We began with the whole concept of Oinik Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, that we spoke about Amir La'akum. Now, we're starting to discuss what happens when you're starting to make the final preparations for your Shabbos Suda Friday night. So it's going to involve taking some actions of food preparation that could land you in trouble, and that's the discussion here in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. We're going to pick up today on Chaf Amud Beis, second line down in the Mechaber, near the end of the line, by the word Aval. Now, our learning today should be a schus for Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesudim Batzaro Bashivya, Ha'imdim Bein Bayom Ubein Bayabasha, Hamakim Yerachem Aleihem Ve'yitziem Yitzaro Lervacha, Me'afelu La'oro Mishibet L'gu'ula, Hashto Bagalo V'zvan Kariv V'nemar Amen. Our learning should be a schus for Fuhi Shalema, for David Ben Blima. It should also serve as a schus for a dear friend who is going through a tzaret. The Rabbanu Shalom should send him the Yeshua and the Hatzalah that he needs. So, a brief recap of what we've seen so far here in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. Yesterday, in the run-up to this year, I mentioned that in Siman Reish Nun Beis, the Mechaber told us a very powerful concept. In Siman Reish Nun Beis, the Mechaber told us that it's mutter for somebody to perform an action, a pu'ula, on Erev Shabbos, even if that pu'ula is going to cause malacha to take place on Shabbos. So, the Mechaber said, you could take grain and you could put it into a mill right before Shabbos. The mill is running. And now the mill is going to run on Shabbos and it's going to grind the grain on Shabbos. That's the Malacha of Teichin. It was mentioned, I think it was in the Mishnah Berurah, that you could even, if you have a water-powered mill and you have grain in the mill, you could open the valve that's going to allow the water to hit the water wheel right before Shabbos. There's grain in the mill. Right before Shabbos, you could go ahead, you could open the valve, let the water hit the water wheel, and let the grinding begin. And the grinding is going to take place on Shabbos. So you're performing a pu'ula on Erev Shabbos, and that pu'ula is going to result in malacha taking place on Shabbos. However, since that malacha happens me'eleha, it happens on its own without your active participation, that's mutter. There's no problem with that. Having said that, here in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, the Mechaber introduced us that this is not always going to work when it comes to the malacha of Bishul / Havara. What do we mean? Well, based on the concept that we saw in Siman Reish Nun Beis, that you would think that there should not be any restrictions on taking food on Erev Shabbos and putting it on a fire on Erev Shabbos and then walking away and let it do its thing on Shabbos. What's the problem? If the food is going to cook on Shabbos, so fine. So that's Bishul taking place on Shabbos. I did a pu'ula on Erev Shabbos. I put the food on the fire and then I walked away. Now the food is going to cook on Shabbos. That's like putting the grain into the mill on Erev Shabbos, walking away, and allowing the Teichin to take place on Shabbos. So based on the concept that we learned in Siman Reish Nun Beis, this is something that should not be subject to any restrictions. Yet, the Mechaber told us here in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, and this is of course not his own, this is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Vav, Daf Lamed Zayin, that this is not the case. There are restrictions on putting food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and allowing it to remain there on Shabbos. This is what's known as shehiyah. Shehiyah means to allow something to wait. What you're doing is you're taking food on Erev Shabbos, you're putting it on a fire, and it is waiting over there on the fire. It's remaining on the fire on Shabbos. And we've learned over here so far that, according to one opinion so far, there are serious restrictions on Shehiyah, on putting food on the fire at Erev Shabbos and allowing it to remain there on Shabbos. What did the Mechaber tell me? The Mechaber told us so far that the restrictions are as follows. If you have a kira, kira is a type of an oven. We learned that it's like an inverted pot. So you have a keli that has inside, on the bottom, it has an interior space that you could fill with fuel. And up on top, it has two places to put pots on top. So the heat is inside the oven, fuel is inside the oven, and now you put two pots on top of the oven. Said the Mechaber, if you have such a kira, and the kira is fueled with fuel that forms coals. What the Mechaber mentioned was gefes and etzim. Gefes, we said, are the waste byproducts of olives. Etzim, shuti kamar shmai, is firewood. As these substances burn, they become coals. So the Mechaber said, if you have a kira that has hot coals inside, then you could only put food, you could only put pots on top of that kira on Erev Shabbos to allow it to remain there on Shabbos, if the food is mevushal kol tzarchai, the food has to be completely cooked. But not only is it completely cooked, it's completely cooked to the degree that it's mitstamik v'raloi. Should you leave that food on the kira and allow it to continue cooking, it's going to be mitstamik. It's going to dry up and shrivel v'raloi, to the detriment of the food. Then you could do Shehiyah. Then you could put that food onto the fire before Shabbos. What's the logic over here? The logic over here is as follows, and we're going to see it beferish in the Mechaber today. The problem is the concern of Shema Yechata Begecholim. What's the concern of Shema Yechata Begecholim? So I want you to imagine, you're running late on Erev Shabbos. Your preparations are running very late. And you have the chicken soup, but you put up the chicken soup too late in the day. You put the chicken soup on the fire. Now when Shabbos comes in, the chicken soup is not fully cooked. It's only partially cooked. And you're fretting because you're counting on that chicken soup for your Friday night suda. Now we're concerned. You might go ahead on Shabbos and look at that partially cooked chicken soup, and you might go ahead and take an implement and stoke the coals. Anybody who cooks over coals knows that the coals start to lose the heat. They start to ash over. If you take a stoker and you go stoke up the coals and you aerate the coals and you knock the ash off of the coals, it produces more heat. If it produces more heat, it's going to accelerate the cooking. That's going to involve two isurei daraisa. It's going to involve the isur of havara. You're making the coals burn hotter. That's havara. You're also accelerating the cooking process, which, depending on the exact circumstances, you might be over on the isur daraisa of bishul. So what the Chachamim said was as follows. You want to do shehiyah? You want to put food on a fire before Shabbos and allow it to remain there on Shabbos? We need to protect against this concern of Shema Yechata Begecholim. How are we going to protect against that concern? Very easy. We're going to tell you the only time you could do Shehiyah is by putting on food that's already fully cooked. But not only is it already fully cooked, it's Bitstamik V'raloi. If it cooks more, as it sits there and as it cooks more, it's Bitstamik, it dries up and it shrivels V'raloi, to the detriment of the food. Now we don't have to be concerned. Shema Yechata Begecholim. Why would you be Mechata Begecholim? You don't want to be Mechata Begecholim. You don't want to accelerate the cooking. You don't want to make the fire hotter. Not at all. So we're not worried. Shema Yechata Begecholim. So this first opinion brought down by the Mechaber in Siman Reish Nun Gimel says you want to do Shehiyah, and you want to do Shehiyah over a kira that's loaded with coals. The food has to be mevushal kol tzarchai, and it has to be mitstamik for Rali. Then, on the top of Chaf Amud Beis, the Mechaber told us another time that Shehiyah will be mutter. You know when else Shehiyah will be mutter? The direct opposite case. Let's say you put food onto the fire, onto the kira, that's completely raw right before Shabbos. So in the first case, we were dealing with somebody who has the chicken soup, and the chicken soup is only partially cooked before Shabbos. Over there, we have an Isser of Shehiyah, because we have a very valid concern. You might stoke the fire to make it hotter and accelerate the cooking. But what if you're taking the pot with the raw chicken and the raw vegetables and you're putting it on right before Shabbos? Then the Mechaber says, again, we have no worry of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. You know why? Because over here, you're not going to be Mechata B'Gecholim because now you're Mesiach Das completely from this chicken soup. When you put a completely raw chicken soup on right before Shabbos, you have no expectation whatsoever that you're going to eat that chicken soup by the Friday night Suda. You and your wife already made alternate plans. You realized that you forgot to put up the soup, so now you went ahead and you took out something from the freezer, you went and you got from a neighbor, or whatever it is, you made different plans for your Friday night Suda, and you are Mesiach Das from the chicken soup. What are you going to do with the chicken soup? You'll have a hot chicken soup by day. You won't put up a cholent. Instead of a cholent, you'll have a hot chicken soup by the day Suda. But you're not going to be mechate b'gecholim because you have no expectation of having the chicken soup anymore Friday night. By tomorrow, it'll be completely cooked without me being mechate b'gecholim. So here in the Mechaber said is another case where Shehiyah is mutter because we have no fear. Gzeir Hashem yechate b'gecholim. There's no point. There's no reason to be mechate b'gecholim. Okay. Now, before we go weiter, I want to take a look at one beer halacha. That's the beer halacha here, Dav Chof Amid Beis, Dibur HaMaskel Mesiach Dai Toimim Mena Ad LaMochar. The halacha that we just said is, if you put completely raw food up right before Shabbos, there's no Isser of Shehiyah. Why? Because you're not going to be Mechata B'Gecholim. You gave up on this food. You have no intent of using it by the Friday night Suda. But let me ask you like this. Let's say you put up a cholent right before Shabbos. Now you're telling me there's no gzeirah shemi yechata b'gecholim because I'm not eating it Friday night. I'm only eating it Shabbos by day. By Shabbos by day, it'll already be fully cooked. For tonight, I'm not using it. So there's no shemi yechata b'gecholim. But what if sometimes people like to take cholent Friday night 2-3 hours after the Suda? I have Bacharim at home. And after the Suda, they go out to the Mismedrish, they go learn. Now they come home. It's Friday night. I never met a yeshiva Bachar who's ready to turn down some good Friday night cholent. So you're telling me that if I put it up raw right before Shabbos, there's no gzeir shemi yechata b'gecholim because I was mesiach das for it for the Friday night Suda. But maybe I wasn't completely Mesiach Das for it for Friday night. Maybe they'll eat it late Friday night. Maybe there's still room for a Gzeir Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim so that it'll be ready 11 o'clock at night. So this Bir Halacha addresses that question. Says the Bir Halacha, Chafetz Chaim says here, Nire it would appear, Da'afilu im ha'tanur chumoy rav, even if you have a tanur that's very, very hot, V'yokol lehispashel, it's true that you won't have the food for the Friday night Suda, but the food might cook by 11, 12 o'clock at night, and maybe there are people at home who will eat something at 11, 12 o'clock at night. Says the Chavetz Chaim, Afal Pike, Im ein darkom shel b'nei odom lahamtid b'sudasam kolkach, if it wouldn't be typical for people to delay their Suda until that point, or, and I'm putting this into the words, he doesn't say this directly, but I'm reading between the lines, or if it's not the derech that somebody would dip into the cholent at 11 o'clock at night. If it is the derech, then you have a problem. But if your suda is already going to be over by the time this food is going to be ready, and it's not the derech for people to come home and have a midnight snack of cholent, then you don't have to worry about it. We would still say that there's no room for a gzera shema yechata. Okay, now let's go weiter over here. So, we have seen so far here in the Mechaber, we see the concern of shema yechata b'gechol. We see when Shehiyah is mutter. Shehiyah is mutter, according to this opinion, when there is no risk of Shem Yechata Begechalom. When is that? Either the food is Mavushal called Tzarchai, it's completely cooked and it's Mitztamik for Aloy, or it was completely raw when you put it on the fire. In any of those cases, there's no risk of Shem Yechata Begechalom. Aval, however, second line down in the Shulchan Aruch near the end of the line says to Mechaber, Avalim Nispashal Ktsas. But if the food is partially cooked, V'loin Nispashal Kol Tzarchai, and it's not fully cooked, V'afilun Nispashal Kol Tzarchai, or even if it is fully cooked, but for whom it's stomach V'yofeloi, but if it continues to cook, it'll dry up and shrivel, and that will be a Mila. It will make the food better, not worse. The example I gave yesterday, personally, I happen to be this way. There are times that I look at the challah Shabbos morning, and I hope that it's going to dry up more by the time the Suda comes. I like the challah to be drier and thicker. So I'm looking at it. It's fully cooked. It's Mavushal Kol Tzarchai. It's been cooking since Friday afternoon. But it's Mitztamik V'yofeloi. If it continues to cook, it dries up, it's going to make the food better. Then, says the Mechaber, then Shehiyah is going to be Usser. Because Chayshinon Shema Yechote, because then we have a valid concern that you might come to stoke the coals, for Osir Lahashoisai Aleha, and therefore Shehia on this Kira that has burning coals in it, Shehia would be Osir. Okay, Mishnah Berurah is cutting your base. Shema Yechote. What's the concern over here? You might stoke the coals. Why would you stoke the coals? Lemaher bishulai, in order to accelerate the cooking process. Kidei lechol balayla, so that the food should be available to be eaten at night. Oy kidei sheyem et stamik yafe. Or, it might be available already, because it's mavushal kol tzarchai, but you want it to dry up more and make it better. It's mitstamik v'yafe. Okay. Now the Mechaber is going to tell us, till this point, we are dealing with what the Mechaber described to us in the beginning of the Siman, in the beginning here of Sif Aleph. We're dealing with a Kira. Again, the Kira is the oven with a stovetop, the fuel is inside, and it's loaded with Gefes Ve'etzim. It's loaded with substances that make coals. That's what we've been dealing with until now, and that's why there's Gzeira Shema Yechata Begechalom. Because there are burning coals inside that can use a good stoke. So that's what we're dealing with. But now, says the Mechaber, four lines down near the beginning of the line, Ela in Kain Garaf. There's another way to obviate the concern of Shem Yechata Begecholom. There's actually, we're going to see another two ways. The first one is, Ela in Kain Garaf, if you shovel out the Kira. Dahainu, what does that mean, garaf, says the Mechaber? Dahainu shahoitzi mimena kol hagecholim. If you shovel out all of the coals, then there can't be a concern of Shem Yechata Begecholim. There's nothing to be mechata. So says the Mechaber, another way out of this problem is do grifa, make it garuf. Sweep out the kira, now there can't be any Shem Yechata Begecholim. If it's garuf, now you want to put food on it that's partially cooked right before Shabbos, go ahead. What's the problem? So the Bishul will continue on Shabbos. That's fine. Simen Reish Nun Beis. Shem Yechata B'Gecholim? There are no Gecholim. So that's one way out. Or, says the Mechaber, there's another way out. Kotam. You could do Ketima. What's Kotam? Says the Mechaber, Dahainu Shekisa HaGecholim Be'efer Lema'it Chumam. Kotam is, you bank the coals. What does it mean to bank the coals? You throw ash over the coals. The direct opposite of stoking the coals and making them hotter. Instead of stoking the coals and making them hotter, you're throwing ash over the coals and you're cooling them down. So says the Mechaber, in both of these cases, Shehiyah would become mutter. If it's garuf, there are no gecholim to be mechata. If it's kotam, we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah, by banking the coals, by throwing ash over them, you know what you're doing? You're showing with a maisa. You're doing a maisa to show that you're not interested in the heat of the coals. You're showing that you're willing to dim the coals. you're willing to cool them down. In that case, we're not worried that you might go ahead later and do the reverse and stoke them to make them hotter. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah over here. Says the Mishnah Berurah is cut yud gimel. Grifa is shahitzi mimenu. You sweep out, you shovel out the coals. Chutz la kira, outside of the kira. You remove all the coals from the kira. Umutter bazeh, and then it becomes mutter in the case where you did grifa. V'chein bekotam, or if you did kitima, or if you banked the coals, then it's mutter to do shehia, afil urak nispashal k'tzas. Then you could take your partially cooked chicken soup, and you could put it on the kira right before Shabbos, and you could do shehia, and let it finish cooking on Shabbos, because now there's no longer a concern of shemi yechata begecholim. Ice cut your dalit, what grufa, shekisa hagecholim, I'm sorry, what's kitima, Kotub is shekisa hagecholim. You cover up the coals. Hainu kol hagecholim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when we say over here that if you make the kira kotum, shehiya is mutter, and we're saying kotum means that you throw ash over the coals, it means over all of the coals. So it doesn't mean that you take a little bit of ash and you sprinkle it on one part of the fire. No. You're taking ash and you're sprinkling ash over all of the gecholim. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, at the same time as I'm telling you that you have to cover all of the coals, ein tzarich liktoim ad she'ein nikar sham esh klal. We're not trying to do over here that you have to be machmir, that you have to take ash and make sure that you make a complete blanket over all the coals so that you don't see any red spot. This reminds me, I was once in a meat plant and they were doing the kashering, and there was a younger manchik over there who never learned Hilchas Malicha, and he was complaining to the people that are doing the Malicha that they're not putting on enough salt. Now the fellow who was overseeing the Malicha was a Yid Talmud Chacham with 35 years experience who knew the Shulchan Aruch and Nisa Kalim backwards and forwards. And this younger manchik came over and said, no, it's no good because I can still see meat. So this very anivistic Yid said, how do you want it? So this younger manchik took handfuls of salt and he packed the meat until it looked like a snowdrift. So the Mashgiach looked at it very nicely and he said, fine, if you want it that way, we'll do it that way. The customer is always right, but it's going to cost you more because it takes more time and it uses more salt. And I just want to know which Sibin and Sifkat and Shulchan Aruch did you see this in? But in any case, says the Mishnah Berurah, we're not talking over here that you have to take ash and you have to cover up the Gecholim to the extent that you don't see any glowing, that you don't see any fire. Rak b'kisei efer kol shehu milamala al peneihem sagi. It's enough to just have a sprinkling of ash over the coals, but you have to have a sprinkling of ash over all of the coals, not over just some of the coals. Va'afilu huvara achakach. And even if after you sprinkle the coals on, it fires up again, shari, it's mutter. Why? Because the whole point, well, we'll see it. Says the Mishnah Reviter, Oid Amar Sham. We also see in the Gemara, Da'afilu haya agacholim shal roisim. Even if these are roisim coals are coals that are extremely hot. She'ena mimarim lihikavis, which don't dim down and they don't go out quickly. Gam kein shari. Once you do this maisa of kotum, of banking the coals, shehiya becomes mutter. Va'atam b'chol zeh, and the rationale of all of this is, kevan d'gila daitoi loiboy l'gecholim. Once you do a pu'ula, once you do an action that shows that you're not interested in the heat of the coals, sagi, that's enough. De'bevadai loy osa l'chatuye. Because now we're not afraid that you're going to now reverse your mind, and later on you're going to be mechata b'gecholim. Oid Isa, we also have the Gemara in Lam Zayin and Aleph, the Gecholim She'omamu, when you have coals that have become dim, Hainu She'huchshach Tzas Marisam, where they became dark. We know that hot coals burn red. If they're dimming already, and they're starting to turn black partially, Harei Hein Kiktuma. Guess what? Even if you didn't do an action, even if you didn't go sprinkle ash onto the coals, but instead they were amumu by themselves, it is already kiktuma. That is considered kituma. Fatam, what's the rationale of that? If you came out and you saw that the coals are already dimming and you didn't stoke them to fire them up, If you didn't go stoke them up so that they shouldn't cool down, we see that you're not interested in increasing the heat. If you're interested in increasing the heat, then you would be stoking it. You didn't stoke it? Oh, it must be you're not interested in increasing the heat. And then shehiya becomes mutter. Okay, so now, before we go weiter to the next halacha, what's this new halacha that the Mechaber introduced us? He introduced us the halacha of goruf v'kotum. The whole problem over here that we've seen so far in Reish Nun Gimel is the concern gzeir Hashem yichata b'gacholim. That would be the basis for asering shehiya, for asering leaving the pot of partially cooked food on the fire from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, because you might go stoke the coals to accelerate the cooking process, to heat up the kira and accelerate the cooking process. But if it's goruf v'kotum, and by goruf v'kotum I mean either goruf or kotum, if it's goruf, if you swept out the coals, there's nothing to be mechate. If it's kotum, if you threw ash over the coals, or now the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Gemara, even if you saw the coals dim and you didn't do anything about it, then there's no room for a gzeirah shemi echate. By the way, this goruf v'kotum, this is the makar for our blech. Our blech accomplishes kotum. What our blech does is, our blech goes ahead, it covers over the fire. You have the flame on top of the stovetop, or if it's an electric stovetop, you have the glowing wires over there, and now you take the sheet of metal and you're putting it on top. So first of all, you're making a hefsek. You're making something that interposes between the pot and the source of the heat, which right away, it lessens the heat. It also is a blech, a metal blech, that disperses heat. So it makes less direct heat. Either way, by putting on the blech, what you're doing is, you're doing a maisa of kitima. What you're doing is, you're showing, I'm not interested in raising the fire. I'm not interested in making it hotter. I'm putting on a blech. So this is where the idea of the blech comes from. This is something that we're going to have to discuss in greater detail. This is at a high level. This is the basis for what we know of as a blech. Okay, now the Mechaber moves to another halacha. Now the Mechaber tells us like this. First, another short halacha based on something that we already learned. We learned already that to put a pot of completely raw food onto the fire right before Shabbos is not a problem. Why? Because there's no room for a gzeir shemi yechote. If it was raw right before Shabbos, you misyach das from it for the Friday night suda. Once you misyach das from the food for the Friday night suda, we're not afraid you're going to be mechata b'gecholim. You don't need to be mechata b'gecholim to make it ready for tomorrow. Ready for tomorrow it's going to be, even if you're not mechata. You only would need to be mechata b'gecholim to have it ready for the Friday night suda. But you will misyach das from this food for the Friday night suda. Says the Mechaber, based on that halacha, there's another way to circumvent the problem of gzeir shemi echote and the iser of shehiya, even if you have a pot of partially cooked food. And this is very negay halacha lamaisa sometimes, when people are afraid, they put up the chalent very late, they put it into a slow cooker, some of these slow cookers take a very long time to heat up, and now they're afraid. I don't know, this food doesn't look like it's cooked Kamichael ben Drusoy to me. It's not cooked, so it's only partially cooked. Is it raw? Is it partially cooked? If it's raw, it's okay. But if it's not raw, if it's partially cooked, is it Isser or Shehiya? I don't know what it is. Here's the Eitzah. Says the Mechaber, you know what you could do? V'imnasad bochaticha chaya. If you throw a piece of raw meat into the food, then mutter, ki ilo hoisa kula chaya. Then, suddenly, you went ahead and you turned it mutter. The same way if you put the chicken soup onto the fire right before Shabbos, it's completely raw, so you misyech das from it for the Friday night suda. If the chicken soup was partially cooked, and then you took another ferritel of chicken, and you dropped a raw ferritel of chicken in it right before Shabbos, so then, guess what? It's raw. If you saw me make a face right now, it's because my computer just decided that it's no longer recording the video, which means that today's share is going to end up being audio only. But I'm going to continue, and you'll have the audio. I hate when that happens, and now I need to take a deep breath, and I have to roll with it. Okay, so that's the halacha that the Mechaber is telling me. The Mechaber is telling me over here that you could throw a raw piece of meat into the pot right before Shabbos. That renders the entire pot raw, and now it's as if you're putting a raw pot on right before Shabbos, when there's no Isser of Shehiyah, because you're Mesiach Das from that pot for Shabbos. There is no Mishnah Berurah on that halacha. Now we go to the next halacha. Now, I'll read it inside, and then I'll tell you the simple way to understand it, and then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah says that this is actually a little bit complex. Says the Mechaber. Now remember, till now, we're talking about a Kira that is not Goruf Vikotum. We have a Kira that's loaded with burning coals, and therefore, there's an Isser of Shehiyah. If you do Goruf Vikotum, there's no longer an Isser of Shehiyah. Now, says the Mechaber like this, till now, we're talking about doing Shehiyah, where you're going to take the pot and you're going to put the pot on top of the Kira. How about if you don't want to put the pot on top of the Kira? Maybe you want to take the pot and you want to put it next to the Kira. The Kira is very hot and there's heat coming off of the walls of the Kira. So I know that there's a problem of Shehiyah. I know that if I have this pot of partially cooked food, I can't put it on top of the Kira. That would be the Isser of Shehiyah. So I won't put it on top of the Kira. I'll put it next to the Kira. I'll put it on the ground. These Kiras were positioned on the Karka. They were on the ground. So I'll put my pot on the ground next to the Kira. And I'll let it get hot that way. What's the halacha over there? So it happens to be that this is an Abaya in the Gemara on Lamed Ches, Lamed Zayin. This is on Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis. On Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis, the Gemara clears this Shiloh. Says the Mechaber like this. Fa'afilu eina grufa. Let's say you have the Kira that we opened up the siman with. It's not grufa. It has burning coals in it. Pirish, shamashach hagechol ha'me'atanur. It's not grufa. You didn't shovel the coals out. It's loaded with coals. U'ketuma. It's not ketuma. Pirish, shekis hagechol ha'me'efer. It's not ketuma. You didn't bank the coals. So you've got a Kira loaded with burning coals and you didn't bank them. Mutter lismoich la kedera, you're allowed to put a kedera besamuch close next to it, chutzala, outside of it. So you're allowed to take a pot and put it on the ground near the kira and allow it to get hot, and you could do shehiyah that way. That's the simple way of understanding what the Mechaber is saying. The Mechaber is telling you, I just introduced to you the isser of shehiyah. When you have a Kira that's loaded with coals, and that Isser Shehiyah is, you can't leave a pot on top of the Kira from Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, but you want to put it on the ground next to the Kira? That you could do. And what would the rationale of that Heter be? The rationale of that Heter would be very simple. When you put the Kira, when you put your Kedera, when you put your pot next to the Kira on the ground, you're not exposing it to the level of heat that you would be exposing it to if you put it on top. Once you're not exposing it to that level of heat, we no longer have a gzeirah shemi echote. Also, it's possible that stoking the coals inside the kira wouldn't even help so much if the pot is outside next to the kira. But for whatever reason, the Mechaber is telling us here, there is no gzeirah shemi echote begecholim if you do shehiyah on the ground next to the Kira, even if the Kira is not Goruf and not Kotum. Okay, let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah is Kotum Tesvav. Mutter Lismechla. Okay, what exactly is the Heter that the Mechaber is telling us? Yesh Oimrim, there are those that say, and this is the way Rabbi Kiva Eger understands Amog and Avram, Yesh Oimrim, Deloisha Rinan Hacha, we're only being matir over here. Ki im hasmicha be'erev Shabbos lahashoisa mishetekshach. What are we being matir here? We're being matir here. What we said was asr until now. Till now we said shihia is asr on top of the gira. Now we're being matir to do shihia, which means putting the pot down on erev Shabbos. We're being matir doing shihia to put the pot next to the gira on the ground on erev Shabbos and allow it to remain there on Shabbos. That's what we're being matir in this case. Aval lehachzir b'Shabbos. But let's say this was a kedera that was on the fire on Shabbos, and you took it off. And now, after the suda, you want to put it back, but you don't want to put it back on top of the kira. You know that that's also. So you want to put it down on the ground next to the kira on Shabbos, so that it should be hot for shal shudas. Ooh, we said yesterday, chazara, returning something to the fire, putting something by the fire on Shabbos, is always much more chamer than shi'ia. Shi'ia means you're putting it by the fire on Erev Shabbos. You're not putting it by the fire on Shabbos. You're putting it by the fire on Erev Shabbos, and you're allowing it to remain there on Shabbos. Chazara? Chazara, you're putting it by the fire on Shabbos. That's always much more chamer. So there are those that say, this heter over here, of putting the pot next to the kira, that heter is only to go ahead and do shihia. That heter is, you could do shihia next to the kira from Erev Shabbos. But to do chazara next to the kira? Could you take a pot and put it next to the kira on Shabbos? That, says the Mishnah Berurah, no, avalahatza b'Shabbos, asar afilu b'smicha. Chazara would be asar even to put it next to the kira. Verak l'sfarishnia hamuskar b'saif asif. It would only be, according to the Shita of Tosfos and Rashi that we spoke about yesterday in the Mishnah Berurah's beautiful Akdama, according to the Shita of Tosfos and Rashi, which we'll see Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, who are makel on shihia, they hold that shihia is always mutter as long as you're dealing with food that's at least cooked k'maychel ben drusoy. So they're much more makel by shihia. According to the Shita that's makel by shihia, mutter afilu b'chazara. They would also be makel by chazara. And they would say that when the Gemara is matir chazara next to the kira, they're matir chazara next to the kira. When the Gemara is matir to put something next to the kira, it means even chazara. That's what the second opinion would hold. As long as you meet the criteria that we'll discuss in Sif Beis. But the Mishnah Berurah says, many Achrayim disagree with this analysis. V'daitam, and their opinion is, the Chazara b'smicha mutu l'kulei alma. These Achrayim hold, and he brings down over here, the Dogel Merivava, which is critically the one who argues on Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Dogel Merivava says that this heter of the Mechaber, to put something next to the Kira, is being matir even chazara, even according to the first opinion, even according to the Mechaber's opinion recorded so far, that are so machmir by shihia, but when he says that you could put something next to the kira, he doesn't mean that you could only do shihia next to the kira from Erev Shabbos. He means even chazara next to the kira on Shabbos would be mutter. And then he takes it to another step. Va'afilu b'smicha l'chadchila b'Shabbos. Yesh Bekilin. There are those that are makel, even not chazara. Chazara is, it was on the fire on Shabbos, you took it off, now you want to put it back. There are those that are makel to even take a pot of food containing liquids that was not on the fire at all on Shabbos. And you could go ahead and put it next to the kira on Shabbos. Yesh Bekilin, but when only if the contents of the pot are still hot. So we're talking here, I guess, Friday night. And it's food that's fully cooked. We're going to have to discuss that in greater detail. The Bechaber said that to put a kedera next to the kira would be mutter. We're talking about over here what would normally be aser by Shehiyah is mutter on top of the Kira, Shehiyah on top of the Kira, is mutter next to the Kira. So that means, even if it's only partially cooked, even if it's not cooked at all really, it's not even Kamachal Ben Drusay. Because this opinion holds that since you're only putting this pot down next to the Kira, you're not putting it on the Kira, Loi Chomer Hai Kira Migrufa Uktuma Hanal. We're not going to make this more Chomer than putting a pot on top of a Kira that's Grufa Uketuma. You could put a pot that's Grufa Uketuma. You could put a pot on top of a Kira that's Grufa Uketuma, even if it's only partially cooked, because there's no worry of Shemi Echata Bikacholim. So too over here, even though it's not Grufa Uketuma, but since you're only putting it next to the Kira, it becomes Mutter. The Mutter Shav L'Hashay Safil Loinus Pashla Kidei Shlish V'Chanal. Ice Cut Yud Zayin, we're talking about putting a Kidera B'samuch chutzala, next to the Kira, outside of it. Hainu afilu emayat seledes b'amaka mahu, and this would be mutter, even if that place where you're putting the Kira, where you're putting the Kidera, the pot, next to the Kira, is hot to the degree of yat seledes. It's hot to the degree where your hand would jump back, which is always considered, that's the level of heat required for cooking. Ice Cut Yud Ches, mutter, we didn't do that yet. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter here in the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber. Three lines from the bottom, near the end of the line. V'imhuska b'kash oy b'givava. So far, we were talking about a Kira that was fired with Gefes or Eitzim. Gefes and Eitzim are materials that we said form coals. But how about if you fired up your Kira, not with Gefes and Eitzim, you fired up your Kira with kash oy givava, straw or stubble. These are fuels that burn very hot, very quickly, but they don't make coals. Mutter lashay saleha afilu ena loy grufa v'loy ketuma. Shia, says the Bechaber, is mutter on Erev Shabbos. You could put a pot, even if it's only partially cooked food, you could put it on top of the Kira on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, going into Shabbos, if it's fueled bekash or begiveva, because there's no concern of Shemi Yechata begecholim. You know why? Because there's no gecholim. These don't make gecholim. Says the Mishnah Berurah is cotton yud tes. Afilu eina levisha ebach shash chitoy. There's no concern over here. Shem yichata b'gachalim. Shem yad shekala hashal heves kala gama gachelas. Because these are fuels that as soon as they burn up, there's no coal left. So there's nothing there to be mechate. Let's see a quick Ramah over here to end the page on the edition schedule. Says the Ramah, two lines off the bottom. Hago. Shtei kirois hamasimois, zu eitzel zu. Let's say you have a double kira. So you have two kiras next to each other, and they have a common middle wall. V'doifen shal cheres beinayim. There's a clay wall separating these two kiras. Ha'akas grufu ketuma. Maybe the one on the left is grufu ketuma. You swept out all of the coals, or you banked all the coals of the left-hand Kira. V'hashnia ain't a grufu ketuma. But the Kira on the right still has coals in it. You didn't shovel it out, and you didn't bank them. So now the question is, since this is a double oven, and one side of it is grufu ketuma, but the other side of it is not grufu ketuma, are you allowed to do shehiya on the side that's grufa uktuma? On the one hand, it's grufa uktuma. So if it's garuf, there's no chash or shem yechata b'gecholim. If you did keep them, if you banked the coals, we're not concerned you might change your mind and be mechata b'gecholim. So it sounds like you should be allowed to do shehiya on the kira that's garuf akotum. But on the other hand, it's attached to a kira that's not garuf akotum. And the heat from the kira that's not garuf akotum is coming into the next door oven that is garuf akotum. And therefore, maybe there's a logic to say that you might be tempted to stoke the coals in the oven on the other side. Because by doing so, you'll increase the heat on the side that you're doing shehiya. So do we say that there's a worry, shema yechata v'gecholim, and therefore shehiya is aser? In this scenario, says the Ramah, no. Shtei kirois hamasimo yisu eitzel zu, v'doifet shal cheres b'neim, ha'achas grufu k'tuma v'ashtia, eina grufu k'tuma, mutter lishois ala grufu k'tuma, yukadu shehiya, shehiya is mutter on the side that is grufu k'tuma, af al pisha moisef hevel, misha eina grufu k'tuma, even though it's getting heat from the side that is not grufu k'tuma. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah here, on chafalaf amad alaf, ois chaf, af al pisha moisef hevel, Pirish, what does that mean? It means that it's adding heat. Pirish, Bakira ha-gerufa, the kira that is grufa, the side that's grufa and k'tuma, is getting heat from the side that's not. Fahava amina, and therefore you might have said, Telehevei ke'ena grufa. Now it should be like you're doing shehiyah on a kira that's not grufa. Because even though your side is grufa, but it's getting heat from the side that's not grufa. So maybe you'll be mechata b'gacholim. Kamash balon, doloy arminan achi. The mechab is telling us we don't say that way. Fa'afilu b'shabes mutter lahatzer aleh. Even chazara would be mutter on the side that is grufa uketuma. Thank you so much for joining me for Liman HaTorah. The source of Liman HaTorah should be Megan against Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem should send Yeshua's Sefuras Panasit Shaduchim to all those in need. We should be zayichet to see the B'yas Goel Tzedek. The Meher of Yomeinu. Amen. Be well.